Christian life requires faith. You couldn't get saved without faith. It took faith to receive salvation. And everything that we receive from God is a gift of grace that is received. But we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. He wants to lavish it upon us, but we need to receive it by faith and say, Lord, I believe. Can you say that this morning? Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. Be it unto you according to your faith today. Hallelujah. Wow. God is good. I guess I need to start getting into my message here this morning. Just felt led to share that bit of exhortation just to encourage you. And if you've not been a faster, I just want to say, don't think you're super person and dive into it, because fasting is hard on the flesh and you'll quickly get discouraged. So start small and just say, Lord, I trust you. And then you'll grow in it. And before you know it, you might even go into a 21-day fast on just bread and water. I don't know. But I never like to legislate. That's between you and God. And that's nothing we're supposed to tout and say, oh, I'm only drinking water, or I'm only having liquids. Whatever, that's between you and God. But God is looking for the posture of our heart to separate ourselves. And the beginning of the year is the best time to do this, as we just reset. It's a time to recalibrate. It's a time to take inventory and say, Lord, I know my, you know, our human heart, we're vessels that leak. And some of us have leaked out, and we don't really realize how dry we are. And as we set ourselves apart in this time of fasting, it's not just doing away with food or television or whatever, social media. It's a time to draw near to God. Because if you're fasting and you're not praying and drawing near to God, then you're just dieting. You're going to lose weight, but I don't know how much spiritual stature you're going to attain. We need to discipline ourselves. Lord, this time that I'm used to eating this meal, I'm going to go to a quiet place and just read your word and pray and draw near to you. And you might not see the fruit immediately. In fact, most of the time you don't. And can I really be honest with you? During fasting times, you're going to feel irritable. And you're going to say, what is the sense of this? The devil is a liar. Fasting, I don't feel God's presence. In fact, I feel worse than I ever did. We walk by faith and not by sight. And if the word says God rewards those who diligently seek him, then in our seeking, we will find him. And it's all in God's timetable. You know, you put seed into the ground, you don't go out the next day and say, where's that plant? You water it, it grows. And then the fruit comes, and then the harvest. But it will come, because God is faithful to his word. So I just want to encourage your hearts today. God has great things for us. The word that we shared on Wednesday night, that we need to have hope as believers. But that hope that we have is in proportion to the amount of praying that we do as well. How much are we going to invest in drawing near to God? How much are we going to invest in crying out to God? We want a breakthrough, but are we crying out for the breakthrough? We want to see God do the miraculous, but are we willing to fast and pray to see the miraculous? But when we do, we can have great confidence, because we know that God will reward those who diligently seek him. Praise God. Lord, I just bless my church family this morning. I thank you for the hungry hearts of my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, that in spite of the weather, they came out this morning because they're hungry for your presence and they're hungry for your word. And I just pray a blessing upon them. And as we open your word this morning, I just pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey and feet that are swift to do your bidding. God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon these lips and the ears of every listener, that your name might be glorified, and that the word of the Lord would run swiftly for Jesus' sake and for his honor and glory. Amen and amen. Amen. I referenced our worship extravaganza last Sunday, which was just such a glorious experience, as at our church, we just wanted to honor the Lord by dedicating this first Sunday of 2019 as a first fruits for this new year to the Lord, saying, Lord, we bring this to you to honor you because you are so worthy of our worship, our praise. You're so worthy of our total focus and dedication. It is for you. You know, the principle of first fruits is an important theme in God's word. And I know that this is another subject for another time, but a lot of believers are not walking in the blessing that God has for them. First of all, in the financial blessing that God has for them, because they don't understand or practice the principle in God's word of first fruits. We want to give God our leftovers. And God says, I'm not interested in your leftovers. I give you everything that you have. The first portion of what I give you belongs to me. And so if we have $100, that first $10, not after you do everything you want to do with your money, and if you have anything left over, okay, God, I've got 50 cents left over, and that I'll give to you. But God says, you give me your first fruits, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great, there will not be room enough to contain it. And you will talk to any person who has faithfully given God their first fruits, and they tithe what God has blessed them with. Their lives have never, ever lacked. Amen. Never, ever lacked. Testimony after testimony after testimony. They may have come right to the precipice of feeling like, God, are you going to show up? I honored you. Now this bill is due, and miraculously, God makes a way. And you know what? God is no man's debtor. He will always outgive you. He'll do above and beyond anything you could ask, think, or even imagine. And when I talk about money, it's not because our church needs it, although we do need it, because the more we have, the more we could advance the kingdom, the more we could do to bring honor and glory to Jesus. It's not about that. It's about you and your blessing. It's about what God has called you to enter into with him so that you can receive the fullness of all that he has for you. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of your produce. But putting God first is first in everything, not only our money, it's first in everything. Didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added to you? In our Christian life, very often we always want to put the cart before the horse. God, do this for me, and then I'll do that for you. God says, no. I come first, and you put me first. Then, Matthew 6:33, all these other things will be added unto you. That includes putting God first when we come to church. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? By my very coming to church, I'm showing that I'm putting God first. But why are you here today? Are you here to see your friends? Are you here to show off that new sartorial splendor that you garb yourself in? I think sartorial means something about the beautiful clothing that we wear. Are you here to receive a word from God? These are all good things. Are you here to be blessed? That's a good thing, isn't it? But how about I am here primarily to worship God? I mean, don't we call it, we come to a worship service. But is it in our heart of hearts to worship God? To give God the honor and the glory that is due his name? Is that first and foremost the priority of our hearts? And because it's the priority of God's heart, I really, as I've been praying, feel really strongly about beginning a series of messages on praise and worship for a few reasons. Because it is a priority, and because as the body of Jesus Christ, this is our raison d'être. If you're not French, that means our reason for being. What has God called his church to? He said, my house shall be a house of preaching, a house of singing, a house of social activism. No, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You know, the passion of my heart is that High Street Worship Center is a house of prayer. And some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, that's not the same as a house of worship. But will you stop and think for a moment? What is prayer? Is not prayer an encounter with God? Is not prayer communication with God? Is not prayer an audience with heaven? And how is prayer always to begin? In one way, and in one way alone. The first order of business in prayer is not to rush in to God's presence and say, "Give me." Our two-year-old children do that because they don't understand manners yet, and they don't understand always please, and they don't always understand, "Mommy and Daddy, I love you, so because I love you and you love me, I know it will delight your heart to do this for me." The first order of business in prayer is worship, and our praise and worship is foundational and the first priority of prayer. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what was the first thing he said? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." How many of us are praying the order of the Lord's Prayer? I'm not just saying rattling off a repetitious prayer off Father. You know how our Catholic friends have to do? They go to confession, and when they make their confession, the priest says, "You need to say 12 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys," and so they rattle off those prayers, and that's vain repetition. But Jesus gave us a template to follow, and that template is the first thing we do is recognize that the God to whom we are praying is our Abba. Aren't you glad that he's not some distant deity out there who cannot be known? But he is our Father who has adopted us into his family. We are his children. We have a relationship with him. We come to Daddy when we pray. And because he is in heaven and we are on earth, we recognize who he is, a Daddy who is high and exalted and worthy of our praise. So the first thing we do is we bow and worship and we say, "Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name." We don't rush in and ask God for things before we begin with the protocol of heaven. You know, heaven has a protocol. In earth, we're concerned about protocols, aren't we? When we do some weddings, have so much protocol. The best man doesn't walk down the aisle. The bridesmaids walk down the aisle. The best man and the groomsmen come out of that back door. That's protocol. And we're careful to follow protocol in our rituals. But when it comes to prayer, we're very lax in following the protocol of heaven. We're entering into the king's gates. So how do we enter? With thanksgiving, according to Psalm 104. We're entering into the courts of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do we enter into the court of heaven? We enter with praise. Praise and worship is not only our reason for being, it's our very calling. It's the core of who we are as the people of God and why we exist. Those of you who've been with us for a while may recall in 2015 when we changed the name of our church from First Christian Assembly to High Street Worship Center. I believe that was a divine Holy Spirit directed decision, because I believe that is what God has called this church specifically to. And as I said, it's always been on my heart from the first day that I came here, 8.5 years ago, that God raises up what I called then First Christian Assembly, a house of prayer, and my passion has not minimized or mitigated in any way. I want God to raise up this church as a house of prayer because that's what He has called us to. And we can't be a house of prayer if we don't understand the protocol of heaven, which is worship and praise. That's how we enter into communion and to communication with heaven. We are High Street. Of course, that's our location, but worship identifies who we are and why we are here. Our purpose as kingdom people is to worship. I talk a lot about the difference between church people and kingdom. We are kingdom people. Kingdom people worship. Church people go to church on Sunday and go through a ritual and go through a formality. But kingdom people come and they say, I enter His gates with thanksgiving and I enter His courts with praise and I'm thankful unto the Lord and I bless His holy name because He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of honor and He's worthy of glory. Why are we here this morning? We're not here to play church. We're not going through a ritual. We're not here to be a coffee klatch. Nothing wrong with coffee, but more churches are more focused on their coffee klatch in the morning than they are about praise and worship. There's something wrong with that picture. Something desperately wrong with that picture. We don't come to church and say it's all about Jesus and it's all about bringing praise and honor and glory to His name. Then we're coming to church for the wrong reasons. High Street Worship Center is not here to entertain people and make them feel good about themselves. I want you to feel good about yourself, but guess what? The only way you're really going to feel good about yourself is when you get into God's presence, because only His presence can make you feel good. And the only way into His presence is through praise and through worship. We are here as God's house of prayer. Here is His people to understand that coming to church is equivalent to coming into God's presence and observing heaven's protocol. And so it's my prayer that by beginning this series on praise and worship and seeing what God has to say in His word about praise and worship, that through this instruction on this subject, that every single person who attends High Street Worship Center will begin to value and understand the priority of praise and worship. See, the sad reality is not everyone understands and values praise and worship. Could that be a reason why some people don't get here until after praise and worship is over? Oh, I come to church to hear the word. That's just the song service. I don't need to be in the song. It's not a song service. It's praise and worship. It's coming before the King of Glory with a song of our heart that is a fragrance in His nostrils and a sweet sound in His ears. Last week, I believe, was a case in point. So many of us were enjoying such a time. We were in ecstasy in all of His glorious presence last Sunday, but there were others who were just spectators. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. And this is why I'm going to be teaching on this series, because some people are just so new to this, and that's understandable. So we need to be taught and we need to learn, what does God's word say about these things? But to sit there and to look around and say, what in the world is going on in this church? I don't want people to have to ask that question. I want them to understand what is going on in this church. These people are worshiping the living God. These people are entering into His gates with joy and thanksgiving and with praise. They're following the prescription of the Word of God. Just amazes me that people say, I'm going to worship service, and they never open their mouth. I'm going to worship service, and they never praise God in any way, shape, or form. They just sit in a pew. We're going to see how praise and worship requires our whole being to enter in as an expression unto our God of the praise that he is so worthy of. So it's my prayer that with revelation from God's word, we will come to church on Sunday morning with a united heart, a singular focus, a singular goal. Oh, we might be here to get blessed. That's good. We're here to hear the word. That's wonderful. But we're here first to bring our worship and praise to God. And you know, it's so important to have this unanimity on this matter, because let's be reminded, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts 2:1, what does the scripture say? They were all with one accord in one place. We're in one place, but are we in one accord? That word in the Greek language, homothamadon, I'm not a Greek scholar, I don't know how in the world that's pronounced, but it's a compound of two words meaning same and mind. And what it is talking about is acting in unison. This person is not here thinking, what am I going to do after church is over? Or what are we having for dinner? Or where are we going to go out to eat? And the other person is thinking, what is that person wearing that color for? They're a spring and they're in winter colors. But we come to church with one mind, with a singular goal, with one focus, and that is to worship God. And when we come with that one mind, we become a symphony. Because that word, actually, that word, one accord, the Greek lexicon offers this explanation. And I love what it says. I'm going to read it to you. The image is almost musical. A number of notes are sounded which, while different, harmonize in pitch and in tone. That's what happens when we worship in one accord. Worship in one accord. We become a symphony. I know we don't always have opportunity to go hear the symphony. I don't know if you like classical music and ever listen to it, but what do you hear? You hear a harmony and a blending of these various instruments, a mixture from different families of instruments, stringed instruments and brass instruments and woodwind and percussion and keyboard. You don't hear one of them, you hear a harmony and a blend of all of them coming together, making this beautiful sound. You don't hear just percussion. Can you imagine a symphony and all you hear is the roll of the kettle drum for 30 minutes? Let me hear some strings, please, and add some woodwind and some brass. Make it a beautiful sound. And that's what God is looking for from the body of Christ, a blending of our hearts and our voices in praise to God. And when we worship, there's nothing more beautiful than worshiping as one, coming before the Father. We're not all thinking different things. Our focus is on the altogether beautiful one. I'm not thinking about who's beside me. I'm not thinking about what's the worship team doing up there. By the way, they are leading us in worship, but we're not supposed to be sitting there spectating. We're supposed to be there participating and engaging. They don't need us to have our eyes opened on them. Just listen to how the Spirit is leading them to lead us and just go with the flow and become part of the symphony. There's nothing more beautiful than when the body of Christ lifts a song in unison to God by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you were around during the charismatic renewal of the 70s, but my fondest memory, and I still get goosebumps when I think about it, and I say, Lord, do it again, because I know God moves in different ways, but he's pouring out his Spirit in these last days, and he's doing it in an even greater measure. But I remember being in some meetings where the church, the body of believers, became a symphony, and it started out quiet. And then it just grew in sound and in harmony and in melody, all of them lifting their voices with one voice, and it became, I thought I had to be in heaven. It was so heavenly. It sounded like angels were singing, and it was just the body of Christ coming together. There wasn't one voice that was louder than any others. See, there's something we need to be mindful of in praise and worship. We don't need to make the church hear my voice louder than anyone else's. And I know that none of us want to bring our attention to ourselves. But somehow, sometime unmindful, we are bringing attention to ourselves if we're doing something or acting in a certain way that is drawing attention to us, because we want the attention only to be to Him. And as we enter in with one voice and one heart and one accord, we bring honor and glory to God. And it's only as we're in one accord that the Scripture teaches us, and we're within unison, that the Holy Spirit was outpoured as He was on the day of Pentecost. And I believe God's looking for that body. When the believers come together, seeing, is this a people that are in one accord? Are they here to worship me? Are they here to love me with a single heart and a single focus? Are they here to bring me the honor and the glory that is due my name? Because if they are, then I'm going to reveal myself in power and glory. That single mind, that single focus is not about my agenda as the pastor of this church. It's not about the leadership of the church and their agenda. It's rather His agenda. And as the intercessors gather each week, we pray one thing: Jesus, You have the preeminence. What is God's agenda for His church? That Christ be magnified over all. That Christ be lifted. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. How do we lift Him up? We lift Him up in our praise and in our worship. And so as we move forward in this series, what I'm going to be sharing is going to some of you sound very, very basic and fundamental. And no doubt it's going to be a review for many, but please understand, again, I'm doing this for those that are in our midst that are new to what this is. They've never been taught on the basics of praise and worship. So we might call this Praise and Worship 101. But you know what I've learned in life, and I'm getting older and older, that as much as we know, we forget, and we need to be reminded. Isn't that what Peter said in his epistle? I know you know what I'm about to tell you, but you need to be stirred up. And we need to be stirred up to understand what God is requiring of us, what God is looking for when we come together, so that we can experience the fullness of all that He has for us each and every Sunday that we gather. We need these constant reminders. So these truths that are so well known to us, the Holy Spirit can challenge our hearts to see if they're being fully obeyed, if they're being fully followed. Are we giving Him the praise and the worship that is due His name? Due His name. I want our worship leaders to come forward. There's more that I have to say this morning, but I just feel to leave it at that. And I want us to just practice for a few moments as we close our service, to just come before God with our worship and with our praise, and to bring Him the honor and the glory that is due His name. Let's just close ourselves in with God right now, as Dave and Marissa and the team come back, and just say, Lord, make me an instrument of worship, that I might bring to You the praise and the honor and the glory that is due Your name. Maybe some of us need to sing, Lord, tune me Your instrument, an instrument of worship. Well, that's an old chorus that just came to mind. I don't know if you guys know that. I don't even know all the lyrics. They're not coming to me. But Judson Cornwall always used to sing that song in his conferences. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. Holy Spirit, as we close this service this morning, we just want to say, God, You're the center of our life. You are so worthy of our worship and our praise. You said that those who worship You must worship You in spirit and in truth. So as we close the service this morning, we want to close by bringing to you a song of worship and praise. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's stand together as they lead us, and let's just bring to God our praise today.